There's a lot of wild things.
Dark
going.
Friday. Yeah. I mean, I remember
I guess
watching
it is,
people.
Yeah, dark.
We had seven seats at one time, and we had seven TVs.
And seven TVs?
They had seven big screen TVs. This, I'm,
oh, okay.
I'm trying
I thought
to tell
you
my
said
age.
You all
it was the floor model big screen TVs.
Let's not talk about age, okay?
I thought
okay.
you all, I thought you all were saying you were buying seven
no, no,
TVs.
No, 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 no. I was watching the chair. They put me in charge of it. I'm like, oh, my goodness. This is going to be bad. So seven people come in. They all the chairs fill up. And this one guy says, I want one. He said, I said, sir. I said, all the chairs are taken up. He said, well, I'm going to wait here. And somebody gets up. And I'm like, oh, no. And I told him, I said, as anybody gets up and has to go to the bathroom, you need to have somebody sit in your chair to take your place. I said, if you get up, somebody takes it. I can't do nothing about it. Well, this guy said, that ain't fair. He said, I got to go. I said, that's what they told me. He gets up. He said, I'm going to go. And some guy sits in this chair. And he gets back. He said, that was my chair. I mean, I had to get the management involved. And it was like, my goodness, this is crazy over just a TV.
Yeah, there's some kind of spirit that stirs up around it, but we do have a few more announcements this morning. The two
Good.
Choir concerts.
I got a Pop-Tart still eating, thinking about my golden days.
The two choir concerts, November 30th and December 1st. The first one will be the Young Adult Choir, and the second one will be that next day on December 1st. That's a Monday, and November 30th is a Sunday, next Sunday. Those will be at the Alice Theater, the 30th at 5 o'clock and the 1st at 6 o'clock. So come out and support those choirs. It's going to be a great night at the Alice Theater in Litchfield. And then also, for tickets, you can go through the Alice Theater to get those. And December 7th will be the Christmas celebration at Memorial Chapel Church of God. They have their special guest, Norma Hall, doing Bible character monologue, and she will be doing Mary. And then that is, again, at 10:30 at their church, December 7th. And then, don't forget, get it on your calendar, BCA Nativity Story Concert will be here at Bethel Fellowship Wednesday night, December 10th at 6:30. And there will be refreshments to follow. So Wednesday, December 10th, Bethel Fellowship Sanctuary at 6:30 p.m. That's all I got.
Well, we've got, now I'm not for sure Hannah's going to handle this. So I know we've got a lot of different ones that's going to pop in throughout the morning and just hang out with us for a little bit. And we're going to be talking all things Thanksgiving today. This is going to be a pre-Thanksgiving MBR. We're going to give God praise. We're going to give God praise for testimonies and all these good things. But we're also going to talk a lot of excitement about Thanksgiving and how it is a amazing, amazing holiday that we celebrate here in the United States of America, and how we are so thankful for turkeys and potatoes that you can mash and put butter in, and mac and cheese and cranberry sauce. And we are very thankful for all these glorious things of taking an evaporated milk and putting it in boiling water for 4 hours and making what's called glorious caramel pie. We're very thankful for these things. And so today is going to be a full day of Thanksgiving. Amen.
Man, I'm just thinking about it right now.
Yeah, and I'm just going to eat my Pop-Tarts and remember what it was like to be 18 and 19 and not 40 in a year.
And you could eat Pop-Tarts and you didn't feel it the next day.
Yeah.
Somebody younger than me, not much younger, but they were, I gained 3 pounds. But it's okay because I lose it just as fast as I gain it. I was like, hold on to that.
Yeah.
Hold on to that young one. They're not even that much younger than me.
Yeah,
I
remember those days, but then this morning when I realized I'm 40 next year.
Yeah.
And here.
But seriously, I was like, appreciate that. That's a gift from God. That metabolism. Hold on to it. Cherish it. And then, you know, just remember that when that stops.
You know, I remember
one day that goes away, young lad.
I'm like, what did I do different as a teenager than I do now? And I'm like, oh my goodness, I just put it together. When I was a teenager, I slept all the time. I got 8-10 hours sleep every night. And I was like, now I'm like 3 and 4, 5, maybe sometimes. Like last night, today I got 5.5 hours. I mean, it's just not enough sleep.
I think a big thing for most teenagers, and well, the difference between when you're a teenager and an adult, you are going a lot, but I think you stayed way more active than you realized when you were younger, doing different things. Like, like you might not have realized it, but you get so bored easily in one spot when you're younger, and you're just kind of always.
Nope, it seems like that way.
Most of them. Yeah. Most people.
Kirstie makes fun of me. She goes, "You can't sit still, can you?" I said, "Nope."
No.
But I think it is proven your metabolism is better, and then it just continues to change. But.
Well, I think I've seen studies about you can get it back, but I think a lot of it is to do with sleep. There's a lot of sleep deprivation that people are not getting enough sleep, and it affects your metabolism.
I know it affects your digestion.
Because my thing, when I gained most of my weights when I worked night shift, my system got all out of whack, and I've been trying to get it back since then. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of it is your body does change. It doesn't burn like it is when you were younger. But I think it's because – and the food. I mean, we don't get no nutrition in that anymore. Yeah. So.
Look, one morning I'm having a Pop-Tart because of my depression over 40 years old coming up here, and you just have to hit me.
Hey, January,
it's
I'm going
turned
full.
Into a whole.
I'm going January. I'm going full force. Me and Braden, we got gym memberships, and we're going.
Awesome, amen. Well, you were asking me about the people. Miss Renee's probably going to be the first one to call in at 7:30, and so she. She'll be calling in, and then Miss Gretchen will be calling in sometime, or coming in with us, and then Miss Jeannie, too. Mm-hmm. So those are the ones I know for sure, and unless I'm missing somebody, but those are the ones I know of for sure that are coming on with us, those three ladies.
At 8:30, still Waleed?
And yes, Waleed at 8:30, so...
Well, let me say this, because I'll bring in some spirituality here, because now this is going to be a lighter broadcast this morning. A lot of fun, a lot of laughter as we move into this beautiful Thanksgiving day tomorrow. I would encourage you. Now, I don't want you to like force this on unbelievers, because the Bible is very clear on this. But especially if you're meeting with other believers during this Thanksgiving holiday, take communion. Like, even if you take it multiple times this week with multiple different settings. And again, you know, I think you should be clear this is for believers. But I just feel like that's in my spirit. I know we've got some people coming over tonight, some families, and we're going to kind of just celebrate tonight together. We're going to do that tonight amongst our families that are assembling together. To give God thanks, we're going to do communion. And actually, I think we're doing it with actually even unleavened bread. Somebody's, one of the families is going to make unleavened bread. So and we're gonna do it that way and just give God praise. And usually, what way I love to do it when it's at my house is we just kind of settle into the living room and maybe turn on a worship song and just worship the Lord for a minute. And then we just take communion together. I mean, you'll have a lot of other fun, play games, laugh. Not saying you just sit there in a solemn circle the whole time, because honestly, I'm not even for sure communion should be something that's overly solemn, like in the sense of quiet and hush. I think there's a moment of reflection or a moment of prayer, a moment of, you know, checking your heart to make sure there's nothing between you and Him, and that's the moment you need to do some self-evaluation, and if there is something in your heart, get it out of there and repent of it and ask the Lord to forgive you and to cleanse you. But
it should be like a joyful.
Yeah, it should be a time of celebration. It should be a time of joy.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one thing I'm really excited about starting Philippians is, you know, if I'm not mistaken, and I need to double check, but I don't think the word sin is, it's the only New Testament book, definitely that Paul wrote, that sin's not actually mentioned.
Hmm.
That the word sin is not mentioned. And I think what it is, it's an epistle of joy. Like, Paul is literally about to die. And he realizes, he's either, I'm going to get a release from prison or I'm going to die. Like, one of these two. Either way, I'm okay. That's like what Paul's saying, because he's found such joy. And then there was even these guys that come in here, and I'm not going to get too deep, because all of this teaching will come out. And they're like, hey, Paul, we got it going on with you in prison. Like, you just... couple of guards got saved. Like, we just started three church. And I guess they think Paul's going to be like, that's just, what can I do? I'm in here. He's like, brothers, that's amazing. Like, you just couldn't deter Paul in this moment. Paul had so much joy in his life. And Philippians, for me, is about two things. Joy and great affliction. And a man who so loved these people. Like, he had so much affection for the church at Philippi. And he was just going to egg them on to Christian maturity. And he wasn't making it so much just about stop sinning, because I don't think he even brings up the word sin. Not saying it's not important to do that, but I think Christian maturity is just not sinning.
Yeah.
Like, we say, if you don't sin, you're a mature Christian. No, like, Christian maturity is walking in the fullness of what Christ. So he covers things to live as to gain. I mean, to die as to gain. He covers things about being the light. He covers the gospel. He protects the gospel. He covers giving and generosity. He covers, counting all, wiping out self-righteousness and walking in trust in who Christ is and cherishing his resurrection, the power of his resurrection. Like, to me, Philippians is an incredible book just because it shows us joy in the midst of great adversity.
Yeah.
And how our situation should never steal the joy we have in Christ. And secondly, it should push us to greater Christian maturity. Mm-hmm. And so over the next few weeks, months here, as we teach through it, Lord willing, a lot of that will come out. And it's right there. And there's so much richness in the book of Philippians. So,
yeah.
Well, the joy of the Lord is our strength, right?
Yeah. Amen. There's a lot in there.
Heather told me Merry Christmas because I ordered a bunch of, I got 9 books coming today on Philippians.
Oh my goodness.
Actually, hold on. I do have, now one of them is a gift. It is a book, but it's for somebody else. But another one I'm really excited about, because have you all seen the Spiral Bibles? I didn't order the whole set because it's like $100-something. And I couldn't afford that, especially buying all my other commentaries for Philippians I just bought. But I did get the ESV Spiral Bound Journal Bible, the New Testament hardcover. So it was only about $15, so it wasn't too bad. So I got the whole New Testament in the Spiral Bible, and I'm really excited to see how that, because anybody know, like, they're supposed to be thicker paper, so you can highlight without bleeding through.
That's
some
what I was
more.
Thinking. These are more for, like, note
and study and note and journal, but journal. You can flatten it out on a desk, you know, no matter how good your Bible is. Like, I was blessed with a very nice Bible, like a really expensive Bible not too long ago, and it's the Bible I bring everywhere, and it's one of the best Bibles you can buy, and yet you still can't get it to lay flat. Like, it's and the Spiral Bible is just phenomenal.
Any,
like,
Bible will really never lay fully flat.
But it's not, the Spiral Bible is not one you're going to go carry around and preach with. It's one you put in your office and just
for study,
and you just lay, and if it lays open, easy to write on, harder, thicker pages, so you can highlight and mark without bleeding through so much and stuff like that. So I'm excited to have that. I'm excited to check it out, but I've got a lot of commentaries on Philippians coming.
I would think that those would be cheaper than a other Bible, but
I
guess maybe it has to have more print.
Well, I mean,
more pages.
It is 4 pages, and it comes in 6 or 7 different volumes. So your Pentateuch is 1 volume. Your Joshua through your probably like Kings, I'd say. I'm not 100% sure, but I think it's somewhere in there. And then you got your Psalms and Proverbs. And then you have your Prophets.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's 5 or 6 volumes. I can't remember. But it's broken up into different volumes because they're full 8x11 pages.
Yeah.
It's a full size. It's a full sheet size. So
it's cool.
It's a large book. So I'm excited for it, though. It's like, you know you're nerding out when you're like excited about Spiral. It can lay flat and I can holler it. So I was so excited about that. But so happy Heather said Merry Early Christmas. I said, I'll take it. You are a nerd when you want books for Christmas.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, I remember one time we told our kids, we were going to my sister's, and we said, this was Christmas, and we said, we don't care if you get socks. You better be thankful. I said, you better be thankful. Like, because I guess Jackson was, everybody, all my kids were young, and I think we only had the 3 original gangsters. And I bet Jackson wasn't much over 7 or 8. and he got all these toys. Like he got way too many toys, honestly. But he did get a pair of socks, and he kept talking about those socks because I guess he's scared he's gonna be in trouble. So when he opened those socks, he's, oh my gosh, socks! I love them. And he's like 8 years old, he's really building up these socks. And I think my family said something like, "Jackson, did you like your present?" He said, "Yeah, I really like those socks." He kept talking about those socks. I guess thinking he's gonna get in trouble if he didn't celebrate the socks.
Dad's gonna whoop me.
If I don't appreciate these socks.
So he kept stressing how much he loved his socks.
Man. You think about that. I miss getting socks and stuff for my grandmother.
Yeah, when you get older, you're like,
man, this stuff's expensive.
Grandma was onto something on those gifts she used to get.
She goes, I'm not going. My grandma used to tell me this, and she says, I'm not going. My grandkids ain't going to go out without socks and underwear. Better have clean ones. I'm going to buy you plenty. And I'm like, oh my goodness. I said, them grannies, they want to make sure you're good and clean, you know?
They do. Like, my grandma would get those packs of, those holiday packs of deodorant. They'll have like Old Spice.
Yeah.
She'd get those
That's
for people.
Favorite.
The holiday pack.
Yeah.
She would get the shaving cream.
Yeah.
All the hygiene stuff in the holiday pack.
Yeah.
She would
get.
I
love that.
I know my sister does all these games at her house for Christmas, and like I just go crazy over the paper towels and the toilet paper and whatever we can get. Like I'm like, give it to me, give it to me. Oh, laundry detergent. Oh, yes.
Yes, laundry detergent. That goes. We go through a lot of that.
Yeah, we do too.
I told her, I said, I'm done buying the small things. You're getting the biggest, gigantic thing that we can find. The big thing.
5 gallon buckets of powder here.
Somebody said they make their own with like a little bit of nothing for the whole year.
Yeah.
I watched this.
Somebody from church was talking about making their own.
Yeah, but the one we use, I've just got so used to the smell. And I just like it.
We just buy whatever's cheap.
We got unscented.
But it has to be like Tide or Gain. She won't, because if you buy the other stuff, it seems like we have to use twice as much. So
those are the views of Jacob Swift, and not necessarily those of Box 2 Radio.
Yeah, I forgot. We're not supposed to say that. But.
And so here we go. We've got Miss Renee on the phone with us. Miss Renee, how are you doing?
I'm good, guys. How are you? I miss you. I haven't seen you in a bit.
We miss you as well. And I know that you've had a busy schedule and a busy run at it lately, and people are still talking about your message from the women's meeting. So thank you for coming down here and ministering to our ladies.
Yeah, I left there the next morning. I've had a really rough 2 weeks. And I'm so grateful this morning for God's endurance. We laid my father-in-law to rest yesterday. And then my aunt, my aunt, the one that I told you that was my spiritual mentor.
Yes, ma'am.
I think everybody should have a spiritual mentor. Praise God. I left the ladies' meeting, got home at 11 that night, boarded a plane the very next morning. I was leaving here at 3:15 that next morning, headed to South Carolina, and I know we're supposed to be thankful this morning, but I want to cry. But my mentor, who had taught me the deep things of God, and I told her, I said, Joyce, you taught me how to serve God. She said, and she could barely talk. She was in complete kidney failure. And she said, I wanted you to know God and to do it right, Renee. Mm. But she's laying there. She's 82, and she had really had a battle with cancer. And this woman who just remarkable faith, she said, who is that? And I said, Joyce, it's Renee. And I said, can you not see me? She said, no, I don't see well, which, broke my heart. But Aaron, she would lay in that bed as sick as she was. She would say, all glory and honor and power belong to you, Yeshua. All glory, honor, and power. And it reminded me of Corrie Ten Boom, the last 5 years of her life. And you can look this up. Corrie had tremendous health problems, and I think it was a stroke. And Corrie could only communicate by hand gestures and the young lady who was the handmaiden that would sit by her side for 5 years, she wrote of it. the last 5 years of Corey's life, and she learned how to understand Corey's spirit and her heart. And she would sit there, and they would be the richest 5 years. And, you know, life is so upside down. Like, we tend to see things that are prosperous by the outer extremities of things around us, but it truly is a life well lived within the heart and within the spirit. So, I was thinking, you know, Hannah said, call in on what are you thankful about? I'm thankful for endurance. Because, you know, the God of the mountain is God of the valley. I mean, just a month ago, it's just like everything was great. In the last 2 weeks, I buried my father-in-law. I've got a very sick friend and my aunt. And I thought, wow, just the way the pendulum can swing, but he's still God. Amen. He's still God. And so I just praise him. You know, there's a lot of families that are suffering right now financially. You know, a lot of people that are really suffering financially, they don't know how they're going to put food on the table. But the Lord is King, and He is Lord, and all wealth, glory, and honor belong to Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Well, there's where I've been the last 2 weeks. Why? That's why I've not been with you.
Yeah. Yeah. Those who endure till the end shall be saved. And Paul says the temporal sufferings of this day pale in comparison to the eternal glory that is awaiting upon us. And I remember being in Puerto Rico, the last trip we was down there, and Deanna Alonzo took us to a young couple's house. And when I say young, you know, probably late 30s or early 40s. And she is watching her husband pass away before her eyes, sick. And both of them are believers. But we walked into that room, and everybody around them has pretty much just neglected them. They're just there alone. And Deanna Alonzo happened just, I don't think it's happen chance. I think the Lord guided their footsteps, and they met these two people, and we were able to go there. And we were in the room, and Deanna started to sing a song in Spanish. And I remember looking at that young lady and saying, Deanna, interpret for me. And I just said, I feel like the Spirit of the Lord wants to remind you that as much suffering and pain as in it feels here right now, it pales in comparison to the eternal glory that he is about to experience and the beauty of who Jesus is face to face. And when that statement was made, the Holy Spirit dropped in the room, and there was a complete shift because of the perspective and the heartbeat of that man who just said, I can't wait to see him. In the midst of the suffering, Paul reminds us there's great glory coming. And you could just feel that shift. And sometimes we get so here thinking and forget the glory that is upon us and awaiting upon us as we see him face to face.
Well, you know, we're coming up on Thanksgiving, and, you know, it's a reminder. We're thankful that God has given us a nation to where we can honor the King. I'm thankful for the foundations. You think about when God began to stir a group of people for religious freedom. Now, there are many people that jumped in on the experiment of American, the ideal of America, that probably had not always good intentions. But there was a group of people that hungered to know the Word of God, hungered to understand this experiment. Most of all of our understanding through our Constitution comes from the Word of God. The Constitution was pretty much a document or derived from men that knew how to pray. And when they came across those waters to come to a better place, a better way, religious freedom, to separate themselves from control of the King and be able to serve God, so many people died. I mean, it's wonderful, we'll have turkey tomorrow, but the price that many paid that we might know God. So I'm thankful, Aaron, that Bethel is free to worship. Bethel is free to gather together and bow their knee to the King of Glory. I'm thankful yesterday at my father-in-law's funeral, they gathered to worship, and there was a word delivered that shook the house. And I'm thankful that we have religious freedom in this nation. That's not afforded in Iran. That's not afforded in many other countries, that we can stand and command our children, just as God said, I chose Abraham because he would command his children to know the way of the Lord, that we have the right to lift up our hands and open up our gates and let the King of Glory come in. The beauty and the preciousness, last week when we got the call that if you want to see my father-in-law, you had to come. Now, he is my husband's stepfather, but his son was not on a good path. And that boy got his kids in church. And I sat and watched all his daughters. They started taking their kids to church. And those girls had grown up to be beautiful girls. I told him, I said, Josh, I am so proud of what you have done. You have really raised great children. They stood around their grandfather's bed. I'm not Missionary Baptist, but I'm telling you, they sung like Appalachian people. It was the most beautiful worship that you have ever heard. Songs of just going home, going to the King, and just, it was so beautiful. And my little father-in-law, who was probably not 80 pounds wet from where cancer had ravished his body in 3 months, he was fine 3 months ago, and when he found out, he just descended down that quick. He could not even lift his head or move his body, but he would lift his hands while they're singing and bang his wrists together to give God praise.
Amen.
You know, Richard Wombrand, who would be in a Romanian prison for 11 or 12 years because he stood against the church, the state church at that time, and they would allow you to have a church, but you couldn't say Christ was King. You couldn't say he was the only way. You couldn't say he was the door, you see. So Richard Wombrand, who had been a Jew and had found Messiah, he's with the Voice of Martyrs. He and his wife Sabrina had given their life solely over to Christ. He would be taken into custody, he along with others. I mean, the religious persecution, Aaron, that we have around the world today is tremendous. But we live in a nation that's free. Why would we not be grateful? Why would we not be thankful that the Lord, great, we're thankful for the capitalism and the ability to make money, but the greatest, the ideal of America was not for wealth. It was for glory. It was to worship God. And they said to Richard Wombrand and them to stop singing. They would whip them and tell them, you stop worshiping. And you know what they did? They would take their chains that they had locked them in to keep them from worshiping. And you could hear the chains banging together. Because you cannot contain the soul of a man or a woman. You cannot trap the oracles of God. That young man preached yesterday, had 6 children. There was a little Missionary Baptist. And he preached the fire of God, and it was so beautiful. I sat there, and I was so captivated. But I don't think I'd ever heard this scripture. I know. Greg will be like, Sister Renee, you hadn't heard that one? Nope, sure hadn't. But Ecclesiastes 11:3 talks about wherever a tree falls toward the north or the south, wherever it falls, there it lies. And it is a picture of a final state of something that's determined by the condition at the moment of its end, particularly regarding death and judgment. That stuck with me, Aaron. Where we fall is where we lay. And if we fall in a state of degradation and sin, that's where we lie. But even if we're trapped by the hands of a man, if our soul is linked to the eternal King of God, if we have the Spirit of God testifying inside of us, the mercy and the grace of God, then when we fall, there we lay in the hands of a merciful Savior. So I'm thankful because the last 2 weeks I was like, Lord, I don't feel like I can even pray. But when I can't pray, He can't. Mm-hmm. When I don't know how to worship, He worships mm-hmm. through me. He's just so merciful. Sorry, I know y'all were laughing and having fun, and not to be a Debbie Downer, but He's just so good.
Mm-hmm.
I think about the end of a man. I remember my aunt. Aaron had never seen a woman so strong in God. So strong. She used to say to me, Renee, you have a baby bottle in one hand and you're casting out demons in the other. It reminded me of Nehemiah when he went to rebuild the wall in 52 days in Sanballat and then were there to torment him. But he would have a hammer in one hand and a sword in the other because he knew the city needed protection. And I learned from that kind of woman of God. When I walk in that group and this frail body that has failed her, but God has not. I mean, they put her in hospice, said she wasn't coming out. She's home. I'm like, you can't kill her, Lord, because you're living inside of her. You are the life, the light, the city of her temple. You are truly the God that numbers our days.
Yeah.
And it's just, life is but a vapor. We're all here but a short time, but oh, I want my time to be marked by His beauty. Mm-hmm. And there needs to be such a heart of gratitude and thankfulness. I want to see fathers gather around their kitchen table and hold their children's hands and command their children to love God. And that command doesn't mean to force. It's to train and to instruct and to give them wisdom and to show their children how to love God. There's a lot of people hurting today. I hear it. I hear a lot of people can't pay their bills. There's single mothers that don't know how they're going to put anything for their kids for Christmas. There's people suffering today. But God, is He not? I just want us to put our butt in the right place, that God is the God. And if there's people struggling today, I want them to lay their hands on their finances and lift it up like the little boy did with the sack lunches and say, Lord, I only have little, but little is much when the hand of God is in it. And to begin to be thankful and see the cup half full rather than half empty. And just say, God, I want you to give me an enduring spirit. I want you to give me an enduring spirit. You know, Nero would light his courts with the blood of the saints. They martyred them, and he would light his courts. He loved to watch Christians burn. There was a story in the Fox Book of Martyrs that this young lad was trying to burn himself with a candle to see if he could go to the cross and be burned. And an older gentleman said to him, he said, son, God not give you grace to burn your head, but should you go to that stake, your God shall give you grace that you burn it up. Oh, God, I just pray that He'd get us through the rough, difficult times. Because there's coming a day that we are going to have to be like others and say all glory and honor. You know, when you're standing on both feet, you're strong. You feel like the world is at your tip. You think everything around you is great. You're excited about what's coming. But when your old body fails, your body fails. A spouse or people go through difficult times or families that are suffering with addiction. Oh, there's a Savior to go to. I preached a sermon this week about when they came back from Babylon and they would go back. King Cyrus would send them back and Zerubbabel went. And they went back to the city of God and it was ruined. Aaron, it was all ruined. The gates were torn down. And they would have to stand at that city and know they had ruined it. It was by their own sin. how merciful is the Savior. And they can look at that city and know that it was by their sin. And is God not so good that he would give them the grace to rebuild what they had broken? I'm so thankful for a God of second chances. I'm so thankful that God will take a drunkard and he'll make him a man of God. He'll take anybody of a reputation of the world and he'll make them a daughter and son of the King. And if we look at the ruins of what we've done and just say, oh God, I have not deserved what you have given me, but will you help me rebuild? And they rebuilt, Aaron, they rebuilt the city of God. They would rebuild the altar and the foundations, and then God would send Ezra to give them the word, and then he would send Nehemiah. Nehemiah had word and had no protection. I'm just so grateful that when you just wake up, I've been numb the last 2 weeks. I've been jumping one plane to the next, get off one plane, and here it's like I've just heard this stress. I can't tell you, my phone is rung off the hook of needs and distress. It's like every time I go do a message somewhere, look at the battle fight. But I've heard needs and distress, but oh, is he not faithful? Is he not faithful? Is he not faithful when you're down in the valley to meet every need to meet your children when they're in a dark place?
Amen.
Let me let y'all talk. I'm sorry, I'm pretty broken this morning. Praise God.
No, we're rejoicing with you, and I just kept thinking about, you know, the great prophets throughout the Word. You know, the Lord broke them before he gave him this word. You know, they carried such a heavy, weighty word, but there's so much glory that comes along with it. And like Pastor Aaron was saying, I just know that there's so much that the Lord is going to return back to you for what you've had to endure, and not just you, but all those who have endured and stood the test, stood through the trial, persevered, you know, the perseverance of the saints. And we're just really thankful for you and the kingdom, Miss Renee.
Well, on a funny note, you want to hear a funny story, Aaron?
Sure.
So a few years back, my little mama, who always cooked turkey or me and my mom always hosted us for Thanksgiving. My sister did the turkey and dressing, but that year she wasn't going to be able to do it. And if mom had been home, she could have. So that left me and Annette to do the turkey. So we get this turkey and manhandle this thing in the sink. Because, I mean, I'm a very good cook, but I've never cooked a turkey. And I've cooked a chicken, but that thing was big. So we get that sucker in the sink. And there's a video. I have to bring you and Hannah and Greg the video. I forgot how many views it got. They laughed and laughed at us, but we got that turkey down in the sink and we didn't realize it had stuff down inside of it.
Oh yes.
And we started pulling it out and I'm a screaming and a gasping. And me and Annette going, it's the funniest thing. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't think I ever want turkey again. And I'm going, but we pulled the neck out. Yeah. And I'm going, oh my gosh, what is that? What is that? Oh, what is that? I'm
yeah, it is. It's yeah. Definitely not the most fun thing to do.
Uh-uh. What was it that they used to have? A lot of people were doing videos with their kids. They would have their kids help them as they were cooking the turkey, and their kids were reacting to what was in the turkey.
You're pulling
and
the stuff
it was hilarious.
Out. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hilarious.
The bag, yeah.
Yeah, it is not the most pleasant thing. But you know what I'm thankful for, Miss Renee, on you?
I don't know.
At the ladies' meeting, you had my back and you didn't even know it. You said I could preach.
Oh, real?
Yeah, you said I could preach for 2 or 3 hours and not even be fazed. And I said, see, guys, I'm not the only one.
He said, if Miss Renee can do it, I can do it too.
All right. Because I've got the people here pretty well conditioned to receive. Because I do every once in a while preach a sermon that's about 45 minutes. But most sermons are about an hour and 15. And they just got used to them by this point. But I was thinking, man, I could go 2 hours some morning. So but I don't want to wear them out too much. But
well, I really hope they got blessed and ministered to.
They were.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we did.
Yeah. Praise God. I told him, I said, we got in the car. I said, man, they need something. Like, they need a Saturday morning. It felt like midnight because, you know, the time change and how dark it is out. So I said, they need a Saturday morning brunch one so we can be more perked up. But praise God, they held in there.
Yeah.
Aaron, I'm not even kidding you. When I get stirred up, of course, you know that, right? I could stand and teach for hours. I love God's word. It's His word changed me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was a little bitty girl, and I wasn't raised in church. I just knew I wanted God, and mm-hmm. His word has changed me. Where would I be? You know, me and Kenny just watched the documentary on Billy Graham and how many people Billy Graham touched, and they told the story of Billy Graham. I don't know, he was a teenager, young teenager. Him and his buddy had went to this tent revival, and they went in, and there was nowhere to sit, and they were going to leave. And an usher saw Billy Graham, and he runs out to meet these two boys and brings them back in. That usher had the sensitivity to run and get that boy, and a whole world was changed because of one night. And I just think about the beauty of God's divine intervention, the stories of Billy Sunday, D.L. Moody's. I mean, I just want my life to be impacted. I want it to be different. I want to leave a mark. And that mark may not be a pulpit ministry for people. That doesn't mean nothing. That mark might be that you're an intercessor and you pray. I used to be a manager at McDonald's before my kids were born, and I met a man. His name was Norman. Norman was a fine Christian man. He was like in his 60s, close to 70, and he was very quiet, very nice Christian man, and he would come, and he was our maintenance guy, and I would come to know Norman, and Norman and I would talk about the things of God, but I didn't know it. Nobody knew this about him. Every single morning, Norman got up at 3 o'clock and prayed for Trump. And he would intercede. The Spirit of God would wake him up at 3 o'clock. This little man that worked in Cave City, Kentucky, would get up every morning, and he was an intercessor for the nation of China. And, I mean, can you imagine the reward that he'll... Nobody knows Norman. I do Norman, but really nobody knows Norman. But God knows Norman.
Amen.
And there's a name written in glory, and it's Norman. And God's going to say, Norman, you honored the call that I put on your life. So I don't know. How long are we talking today? About, am I done? Or y'all? We
still- well, we got just about. I got 2 minutes.
Praise God. Well, Father, I thank you for my friends at Bethel. I thank you for Hannah. What a woman of God. The word of God that has been so seated in her heart. Lord, she understands. Judy and I were talking about just Hannah's weightiness of the word of God on this young woman. I thank you for Aaron. I thank you for the campus. I thank you for the light the city set on the hill. When I walked in that church that Friday night, God, Heather doesn't speak, but there was such an anointing on the worship. There was an anointing on the keyboard. And Lord, I thank you for this man and woman of God that is sacrificed. They could be doing anything. They could be going anywhere, but they have given their life to this place. And I pray, Father God, that those that have tuned in, that the greatest thankfulness that we can have is Messiah died between two thieves, and we get to decide, do we want to be like the man on the right or the man on the left, or do we want to be like the man in the middle? Father, I want to be like the man in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
As I know Aaron and their guest and Hannah and those that have tuned in, I want to be like him. I am thankful for the Savior. I am thankful for His blood.
Mm-hmm.
I am thankful for His sacrifice. I'm thankful for America, the greatest nation in the world. And I am thankful, Father God, for our brothers and sisters in Israel. I am grateful that you are my God and my King. And so, Father, we give you praise today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Miss Renee, we do love you dearly, and we hope that you have an amazing Thanksgiving. And please send our condolences to Kenny, and we're praying for you guys.
Okay, I'll see you next Thursday.
Can't wait.
Can't wait.
We'll the glory of God will fall in Jesus' name.
Amen. Y'all
thankful.
Have a great
we're
day.
Thankful for you, Miss Renee. You too. Bye bye.
Thank you, Hannah. Bye bye.
All right. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to take a quick break here, and we're not doing trivia today just because of the day we got ahead of us. And so let me get my song. I'm going to pull a song out. Let's see here. Let's do like a Thanksgiving song. Let's find a thank you song or something.
A thank you song.
Yeah, like thank you. thank you for, let's see here. I'm trying to
gratitude.
I'm trying to find one in here. Oh, gratitude. We could do that. Yeah, that's a good one. Look at you. That's why you sing songs, Hannah. All right.
My brain thinks in songs.
Yeah, mine doesn't. My brain thinks of, like, sleep and Pop-Tarts because I'm turning 40. Let's see here. Now I just lost the song. Here we go. All right, here we go. We'll be right back here after our break. All right, we are back. Aren't you full of gratitude in this season? Thank you, Miss Renee, for calling in this morning and bringing that word of thankfulness and even walking through the hard times. As we discussed earlier, that's one of the points of Philippians, and what we're going to dive into is joy in the midst of affliction and in the midst of adversity. Paul still was able to have joy. Hallelujah. Well, Miss Jeannie and Miss Gretchen has joined the crew now. Miss Jeannie says she come packing.
I did, but you know what? She came in packing. Gretchen's got hers.
All right.
So both of us are going to just, it looks like a draw.
It's a draw?
We're getting ready to draw. Yeah.
Hey, a lot of times I'm outnumbered by the guys, but I feel good. I got sisters. We're outnumbered. Well, we got Brother John in there. We're balanced.
Now, Tuesdays, I'm outnumbered quite rapidly, okay? But it is good to have everybody with us. So whoever's starting off, we can get right into it.
I think Gretchen's really sitting on the edge of her seat. Well, she's ready to do this.
She kind
of
is, actually.
She's ready to go.
You all were talking about your Bible and your new Bible that you're going to get, the spiral one.
Yeah.
Whatever. Okay, I didn't know such. But anyway, okay, Jason Toler has me looking for a message that Brother Ron preached. And so I went through all of his files. And I have two totes full of files. And then I went to all my notebooks that I have. I've been keeping notes. I forgot where the last one was from. The earliest ones. 1995, I think, was some. So anyway, I ran across this quote, and Dick Rubin had made it. But it was, you ink it, you think it. If the margins in your Bible are clean, your spirit could be lean.
That's so right.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't even know why it stood out there, but anyway, so I wrote it down because I'm going through my Bible. I was just telling them that my Bible that I use for my devotions, I've just put it up because from Ephesians on, it falls out. when I pick it up, all those fall out, and I have to put them all back in there and everything. And I've got my other Bible but I miss so much the notes, you know, mm-hmm. that sometimes I think, I know I've got a note on that verse, and so I have to go back to my Bible that's all falling apart and rewrite so that I can. And I used to do that. I used to, when I get a new Bible, I would go through my old one and write, you know, notes that I saw that there was a. Sometimes there'll be a note I have no idea what it meant, but
you need to find one of a place you can take it to get it re.
I did. I looked that up. I found somebody in Nashville, but you know, they were just. It was just a couple. It wasn't like a business or anything. So I don't know. I was a little bit. I don't know if I want to send my Bible off.
Yeah, Pastor Kent said that he has places in his Bible where he has used highlighter so many times with so many different colors that he's not sure what that color is anymore. Yeah. So he's yeah. already highlighted, but he highlighted it again. Yeah,
and again. It's bleed through on the other page, and you don't. And I was like,
which one
okay,
was
why,
I highlighting?
Yeah, why did I highlight that?
So that's funny.
Yeah, it is.
Now, I've used a pencil most of the time, and pencil, it kind of fades out. I'm left-handed, so ink, you know, you smear when you're writing. So
you left-handed people do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
So, yeah. So I always use pencil, and I like pencils better than ink pens. I don't know why, but maybe because you can erase. What? Start over.
Wait a minute, I was wrong about that.
when I'm working on a text, so like I'm working on Philippians 1-11 for this weekend, and one of the first things I do is I take, copy and paste it into my notes, not my notes app. I don't use that anymore. I use a different app, and I put it in there, and then I put my spaces, and then I just tear it up with my Apple Pencil. Like, I mean, I circle, I draw arrows, I highlight different colors, I will put arrows out there, and I just, like, without going into any commentary, going to any Strongs, I literally just mark to pieces my text. And I will draw circles, I'll draw arrows, I'll draw three lines.
On the app.
Like, you can see it right here. I did last night, actually, at the basketball game, waiting to play.
Oh, did they win?
It was just a scrimmage. Oh. And so we kind of started over. But this was just my initial. I have more to do today, but you can see where I start. And I just start to draw lines, arrows, little notes. And I'll probably do this for like 2 days before I start actually going to the commentaries and in the background. I just look at the text myself. And it's like we're blessed in this day to really, because if I did all that in my Bible, it would fall apart. Like, yeah. So.
No, there, I think I'm. Renee, go ahead.
Philippians 4:13 was always, anybody asked me what my favorite verse was, I always used to say that one. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I first heard that verse when I was in, it was a Bible camp, and I was probably, I don't know, preteen. And this is before, you know, the lady that was doing the devotion that day, she quoted that scripture. But I didn't catch where it was at. So it was many years.
Oh, wow.
Because we didn't have. I only think we had a Strong's Concordance. You know, nobody even told us about those. And trying to find that verse. Mm-hmm. And
awesome. But that was the first book I bought.
Really?
Strong's. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I bought that thing. It was a lot of money, y'all. Mm-hmm. And it's this big and this thick, and I still got it. Mm-hmm. And when I remember, I spent
probably
so many hours.
Inches thick, weren't they? Yeah.
Yeah. I spent so many hours just going with it. You know, I was looking for something, but then I'd go ahead and read them all.
I think I would like to have a Strong's actual physical book instead of always looking at the online.
Yeah.
Because I like reading.
You know, online can go down.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
That's true. I thought about that too. Mm-hmm. But I think I am part of this new generation with like the Bible app, because I do a lot of highlighting on there too. I didn't realize it, but I don't mark my Bible as much, but I do on my phone. Mm-hmm. I highlight on there.
I get it.
But also I don't always have highlighters with me, you know, like I don't always have highlighters. And so, which Ethan, he's weird like that too. He'll do it on the phone, but he doesn't like to run. Like, he wants to, like, take care of every page. He's like, yeah. I don't want it to get, like, destroyed.
I love the technology. When Renee was talking this morning, and, you know, she was broken, and I'm all in it. I'm there. And the scripture that she gave and that young man preached on, I had heard it before, but I can't say I ever sat down in it.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I didn't want to forget. So I text my partner in faith. Good morning, Jeremy. And I texted it to him so I would have it later, yeah. You know, because I didn't want to lose it. Mm-hmm. So that's sometimes, and I'll send Karen one. I'll send whoever's close to me. They'll be, what'd she send me that for? Well, it's because I didn't want to forget it.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I send myself texts. I do that a lot.
You got to teach me.
Yeah, you can just send it to you send it to your own number.
Yeah.
And it just sends yourself a text.
Okay.
Yeah, I do that actually.
I'm afraid I'll get too many messages.
Yeah, if there's like a video I just got to keep, or there's something I just need to remember, or there's something, If I don't throw it in my notes app, then I'll send myself.
Well, I just type my name.
Just type your phone number, yeah. And you can text yourself.
Well, glory.
You ever rebuke yourself?
I text myself, shut up. Like,
I'm going to be like, teach me more, teach me more.
There's notes on my phone. Yeah. I just went to it and I thought, oh, and I have a quote that I put in here. This is, I think, from Jesus Calling. Sarah Young wrote, mm-hmm. She says, give thanks regardless of your feelings, and Jesus will give you joy regardless of your circumstances. Something like that.
Come on.
I remember in college, every time we would have somebody come to chapel, because we had chapel every single week. Sometimes more than once, but my notes have so many. I mean, thousands. I have thousands of notes because if something was speaking to my spirit, I'd just be my fingers be going.
Miss
so
Gretchen,
quick.
we've got totes just packed full of paper. Their totes are full of cell phones.
Yeah.
So I need to dump them out. I need to save them somehow. I need to like print them out.
You know how I remember a lot of stuff? Song. I do it in song.
Mm-hmm.
Because we'll remember a song more than we will anything else. I don't know why.
You mean I'm going to have to sing all my revelation?
Yeah. Hey, I'm just telling you.
Moses
told them to write songs,
yeah, yeah.
Right?
We discussed that Monday, but I suggested Pastor Aaron to not try it. Sorry.
Yeah. Don't you love do that sermon? To you now? Don't.
No, I'm in all seriousness. There's been some of Pastor Aaron's sermons that, like, not the whole sermon, but like little parts. Okay.
Got the disclaimer in there, buddy.
That would be like I don't know how long that song would be. It would top Maverick City by all. It'd be a whole new Maverick City song. It'd be like 30 minute song. But no, I have actually like had some song, like not a full song, but just little spontaneous things from sermons that the Lord has reminded me. Like I know one of the most powerful ones for me was he had a sermon on coming out and coming in. It was like a prophetic word the Lord gave me. And just little things like that, come out and come in.
Yeah.
And there's been more things like that.
That group we listen to, they do a lot of she basically sings the word,
mm-hmm.
and then there was just repetition. And,
yeah.
But the funny thing is, the kids are like, "Why, Daddy? Why do you got the audio on your Bible app and it sings?
It's like, can sing it.
Yeah, it'll sing the word. Yeah, it's pretty wild. I was like, that's weird.
I didn't know that. Do you have the U
version? Off all over again. Brother Ron didn't care for that much.
Yeah, it'll sing. It's pretty neat. I mean, it's not like a great song. Yeah, that one.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I'm going to have to try
that. The U version?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. It'll sing the word. I'm like, that's pretty.
You know, every time I get still, and I love this, it'll be one of the things I'm really thankful for. When you take time to sit in his presence, he starts talking. I just love that. Because we can talk to him and hear from him anytime. So I went to this spa thing. One of the girls at church was doing. She said, you don't have to buy anything. You don't have to do anything. Will you just come? I'll get money. You know, I'll get all these credits if you just come. I said, all right, but I ain't doing nothing. So I go, and they put on this music. And the lady starts talking and saying, you know, pretend you're walking on the beach. And you hear the ocean. And I'm like, God, you can't talk to me right now. I'm busy. I'm getting ready to be on. I mean, I said, that's the first thing I thought. If I get this still, God's going to start talking. That's the first thing I thought.
That's cool. Yeah.
It was true.
Did he start talking?
No.
My little girl and Jacob's little girls, they decided to do a spa at my house the other day. And they scheduled us in. And we went in that room and they had a music playing on the television. The lights were dimmed. They had all their lotions.
Did you get cucumbers, man? Cucumbers.
I mean, they had wet hot towels, and they made me and Heather and Kaylee all go through the spa, and I fell asleep.
Yeah, that's right. Heather said that was the most relaxed I've been in a week.
Heather's, I'm gonna start doing this weekly.
It's pretty cool.
This is why we have so many kids.
There is a spiritual lesson here. Pay attention, right? There is a spiritual lesson.
Eliza's sitting there rubbing your temples, and Paisley's got this little roller, that you know, like the facial roller. She's rolling your face.
Are they taking more people?
They would do it, Miss Jeannie.
And they won't talk to you about beaches and oceans.
Now, this is the greatest part. I got to share this. So Kaylee's in there, all right? And with us, they're like, now just relax, Mom and Dad. You know, Eliza's like, just relax, Dad. You know, go to sleep. And Paisley's like, I think he is asleep, Liza. I think he is asleep. And I was on my way to sleep. But during Kaylee, like, they were really trying to be very, very relaxing to me and Heather. It was supposed to be that spa.
Mm-hmm.
And so Kaylee goes in there, and they put the rag on Kaylee, and, you know, and Paisley's trying to get her, you know, start to do the relaxing thing. And Liza goes, I got prayer requests for Kaylee. She goes, she ain't going to relax. I got prayer requests. So Kaylee said, I got trauma dumped on in there for prayer requests. And so, but
they said, they're asleep, so you're going to have to stay on your post.
Yeah.
You're going to stand in the gap.
That's so good. Stand in the gap.
That's hilarious. Yeah.
You know, Kaylee's always praying for our little girls, and she brings our young girls over to her house and do sleepovers. Oh, yeah. And she does Bible studies, and she does prayer with them, intercession. She'll take them to the sanctuary, and they'll fly banners. And she does really good with our young girls. She does phenomenal with them. And and Hannah did the same thing not too long ago with a group of girls, taking them to her house and the young ones, and just being with them and loving them and doing all that kind of good stuff. And so Eliza's like, she ain't going
to
relax. She goes,
I got
prayer requests. We
got
to pray.
Well, we got 5 minutes. What do we got?
We got about 10.
10? Yeah.
Do we have 10? I really want to bring this.
Sure.
Can I do it?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. And I can talk fast. I can.
He won't mind to share his time.
No, he never does.
But I was really meditating this morning. You know, I said, Lord, I'm going over there. I need to tell what I'm thankful for. And, of course, the list is unbelievable, right, of what you're thankful for. But as I was sitting down in it, all the obvious things, of course, our salvation and our relationship, really. And I think that's where I keyed up the most. But one of the things that I'm really thankful for is that I'm never at a loss.
Mm.
Amen.
I never have to find myself going, I don't know what to do. Mm. Because he lives in me.
Mm-hmm.
He's with me. I'm with him. And it's forever. And so I started looking up a few scriptures and things. So in Psalms 51, he said, behold, you desire, God desires truth in the inward parts. Look, I took my glasses off. And in the hidden part, you shall make me know wisdom. Mm-hmm. I think one of the things that I've been so thankful for over my life is that I have the wisdom of God on the inside, because the wisdom of God is the person of God, Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:30, he said, but of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom.
Mm.
Man. I'll tell you, somewhere along the line, and it's wisdom, sanctification, righteousness, and redemption. So somewhere along the line, I got it. I mean, I really got it. And I never feel at a loss. And if I do find myself going, I don't know what I'm going to do, I repent. Yeah. How could I say I don't know what I'm going to do when he's in me?
Mm-hmm.
By his spirit, he's leading me, and he has become to me wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all, I just, it's all over me right now.
Yeah.
And so 1 Corinthians 1:21, in God's wisdom, the world's wisdom wasn't going to be able to know him.
Mm-hmm.
We were going to seek it. We were going to go after it, but we weren't going to know him that way, and that was his wisdom, so that we would know him.
Mm-hmm.
And y'all. And so Proverbs, of course, says, I didn't learn wisdom. Jesus said there's a greater one than Solomon. So there was a greater moment than just knowing wisdom.
Mm.
He said there's a greater one here. Mm. It's his presence on the inside. And when his presence on the inside brought the wisdom. It did. Everything came with him.
It's the source.
Everything. And so, and of course, Proverbs says also that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about this the other day. You know, for me, fear of the Lord is not something I have to repeat all the time. I don't have to say it every time you turn around. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I walk in that fear so I can walk in that wisdom. And I just, if there's one thing today, tomorrow could be brand new, but today, I am thankful that I can talk to him and he can talk to me. Mm-hmm. I will hear him. Amen. And I will have the wisdom that I need for every situation.
Amen.
Amen.
to walk in his will.
Hallelujah.
Paul said, he figured it out. He said, I desire. Let me finish it. I desire that you'd be filled with the wisdom, right? Why? Mm-hmm. Because the wisdom is a person. The person of Jesus Christ on the inside, ready to guide and ready to reveal mm-hmm. his will. That's wisdom. That's a person.
Amen.
Glory. Okay, I told you I could do it fast. I told you. Amen.
That's good.
Come on, Gretchen. Tag.
Well, your tag. Word, wisdom, mine is joy. You know, the joy of the Lord is my strength.
Amen.
And, you know, it's just like at a time when probably a lot of people thought, you know, she'd probably go down.
No, right.
You know, but that's the word the Lord gave me, you know, and it was joy, and it's been my strength. So you know, I've just rejoicing and so thankful that you know, God gave me that word, and it has strengthened me to go on and do everything that I need to accomplish. As a person, you know, and what the Lord had called me to do was to be my husband's helpmate. And so when he was gone, you know, I thought, okay, now, Lord, what am I supposed to do now?
Right.
You know? Because I guess my whole life was kind of centered around that.
Sure.
You know? And I'm still waiting for him to really show me what to do, but I'm just pressing on with, you know, what comes before me each time, you know. So, and so the joy of the Lord has been my strength, and I'm
Amen.
So thankful for it. You know?
Yeah. Didn't he say it? I'm going to give you my joy.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he did. And probably some people wonder, you're like, well, she should be sad and depressed and and all like that. But, you know, I can't, because that's what God put in me, I'm going to, you know, share with others. You know. So.
Yeah. A lot of people get stuck right there, Gretchen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you didn't.
I know a few, you know.
Yeah.
And when I look at them, I thought, you know, there's so much more that the Lord can give you. You know, why wallow in all of that, in grief and sorrow you're on your way to heaven, and so just enjoy the ride.
Enjoy the journey here on your way.
You know, one thing I'd like to say to you, Ms. Gretchen, because over the years, you know, got to know you guys so much, and family, y'all, not just our church family, but you just family, you know, we know that y'all touched our life so much, but I've always seen you as grounded, and I know that, you know, maybe not mean a whole lot to a lot of people, but it was like, it was the groundedness, like, not much, you know, maybe you took it to prayer, but you never showed any kind of, like, to me, it was like, it doesn't affect Miss Gretchen. It doesn't seem like it's like she's like steadfast and grounded.
That's right. It's a good word.
And you always seem to have the right words to say, and I know you may not think that, but over the years I've watched you, and I watched Brother Ron and how he poured into me, and y'all always poured into people, even when people maybe not been pouring into you guys. And I think that over the years that groundedness kept me grounded. Because I was like, if they can do it, I can do it, you know.
Yeah, so. They were good at that, and still are.
It reminds me of this morning I was reading, you know, the parable of the one who built their house upon the rock. But before it says they built the foundation upon the rock, when the wind came and the flood came, it said they dug deep.
Yeah.
They dug deep, and that's how the foundation gets laid. You have to dig deep. If you don't dig deep, then you can't lay that. And that kind of goes along with Miss Renee's message from the ladies' meeting too. Mm-hmm. So that really
we've
spoke
quoted
to me.
That a lot about digging deep and Warren.
Yeah.
But when he talked about grounding like that, you know, digging that deep well in the Word keeps you in that place Jacob's talking about.
Well, I think you think you're looking for. I think God's already doing it. And you don't even realize it. It's like, it's kind of like, I think just watching you guys in your marriage too, and know that the things that came against you guys, and how the enemy and how you all stood by each other. And through all the pain and suffering and all the things that you went through, you still chose each other. That really meant a lot to me and Kirstie, because I'm like, you know, you see so many, especially in the church, and I'm not trying to bring up any, it's like you see the divorce
mm-hmm. Go ahead
in the
say
church
it.
Through so much. Mm-hmm. You see it so much, the divorce rate in the church, and how many people are my friends that, you know, they're no longer together that we used to mm-hmm. be in church with. And I'm like, this is crazy, you know, and I know things happen, but watching you two go through so much and the attacks and all these things and how you chose each other, to me, that's a representation of how Jesus chooses
that's
us.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
So. I think that was it there. The Lord chose us. He's the one that put us together.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
And I was thinking about one of the things that Renee was talking about, Norman and the usher that went after Billy Graham and his friend.
Yeah.
I mean, just think, you know, some people may would think, like, well, he was just an usher. Oh, my God, what the Lord had planned for that usher.
Amen.
They might have used him.
They might have said that donkey was just a donkey.
That's me.
But he carried the King of Glory.
That's right.
Yeah. So good. Yeah. There is a scripture I wanted to read towards Jeannie's, though. Can I read that?
Yeah, yeah,
because you're talking about the wisdom?
Yes.
It's Colossians 2:1-3. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all of those who have not yet seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love. So Paul's talking, I'm just setting it up, to reach all the riches of the full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are all the treasures hidden of wisdom and knowledge. Mm-hmm. I love that literally that last part, to reach the riches of the full assurance of understanding the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures
Amen.
Of wisdom and knowledge.
That's the word, Randy.
We celebrate wisdom of Solomon, but within Christ are all the treasures.
Yeah.
And there we find the full assurance. He is the express deity of who the Father is. He is the express manifestation of the Father. He came to show us the light. He came to be the true Torah. Mm-hmm. He became to bring us the aura. He came here to show us exactly who Dad is.
You are never at a loss. How could you go through the rest of this day after hearing that and stay in the bad day?
True.
I just don't see how it's possible. Mm-hmm. I don't. Come up out of your bad day.
And as Peter was asked, you going to leave now? And he said, where else would we go? He's got the words of eternal life.
I feel
life.
That. Don't you feel that way, man? I'm not going nowhere. That's
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
I love it. Amen. I love it. Amen. Well, let's just, I don't know what everybody's doing, but I'm just going to connect Brother Waleed right here on this conversation.
If y'all need to head out, you can, or if you want to stay,
y'all can stick around. We're good. Yeah. Brother Waleed, you on with us?
Yeah, man, I'm about to break out in praise.
Brother Waleed, we just having a good old time of prepping for Thanksgiving's one day early for us here.
It's daily for the believer.
Amen, brother. Amen.
The Lord, because He is good. Amen.
He is so good. Amen. Well, Brother Waleed, I'm excited to have you with us this morning. And first of all, happy early Thanksgiving.
Thank you to you all also.
And we are just stirred up. Miss Jeannie brought a word. I kind of splurred words together. Miss Jeannie brought a word of wisdom, and Miss Gretchen brought the word of joy. What's the word the Lord has given for you this morning?
I think it's the goodness of God.
Yeah.
The goodness. You know, when you look at Psalms 3 times, it says, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. And the goodness of God, you know, His character, that attribute of His goodness, is a lot to give thanks for, because I think it's tied into His salvation. You know, when you think of the salvation of God, you know, this was a psalm that was publicly declared in the assembly, the gathering of the believers in the temple of Israel. And I think when we think about His goodness, you know, you're saying, how can you have a bad day? You know, my emotions or whatever I'm going through. God has been good to me. We always have that to be thankful for, no matter what we're facing, no matter what we're going through, no matter what we're not going through. This is the goodness of God. He's been good to me. That's a lot to be thankful for. So. Man, that's good. I think it's goodness, my brother.
You know, there's a scripture that comes to my mind when you say that, Brother Wally. Nahum 1:7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who take refuge in him, but with an overflowing flood, he will make a complete end of the adversaries and pursue his enemies into darkness. What do you plot against the Lord? He will make a complete end. Trouble will not rise up a second time.
Ooh, come on.
For they are like entangled thorns, like junkards they drink, for they are consumed like stubble fully dried. From you came who plotted evil against the Lord, a worthless counselor. Who can plot against the Lord?
Wait, what was that reference?
Nahum 1:7 and all the way through 11.
Okay, I have to send that.
Are you texting yourself?
Yes. Yes.
No, I'm texting my partner.
But I was thinking of that verse, how the Lord is good, and we can rest in the stronghold of his goodness.
Amen.
100%.
Yeah, I love what you said there. I mean, at the very beginning, what did it say? He knows those who take refuge in him. Mm-hmm. That just blew up on me. It did. God knows.
Brother Wally, I also, a scripture came to my mind when you were talking about the goodness. Because I was like, we have wisdom, we have joy, and we have goodness. And the Lord says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Mm-hmm.
And the word follow can also in the Hebrew be translated to pursue. And it's pursuing me. Mm-hmm. And I was like,
sing that song.
Amen. That'd be a good song.
Hallelujah. What a blessing, man.
Yeah.
His loving devotion endures forever. I'm seeing that a lot too right here.
Yes.
Give thanks to the Lord for he is good, his loving devotion. So I think we're really getting on all the attributes of God here.
He's probably up there telling us, keep on. Yeah. Come on. Keep telling me.
If we run out, we can start over.
He loves that.
We're just glimpsing. And just to think we're just seeing through a glass dark and dimly, and then, you know, we'll see him face to face.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Yep. That he allows us to see into it. Yes. He allows us to look in there and see. Does that overwhelm y'all as much as it does me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It reminds me of the two disciples, the believing non-believers, when they were walking on the road to Emmaus. He said, didn't our heart burn within us?
Yes.
He opened to them the scriptures.
Hmm.
Yes.
You know, I think one of the things is so often, and I think this is a fault of religion. Religion teaches us that the Lord's always there to get us. Like he's just waiting around the corner of the threshold saying, oh, if they mess up, I'm going to get them now. Mm. And it's like we preach and we teach about a God who's anxious for judgment. But in reality, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. His desire, his heartbeat is that all men would come into repentance. His desire is not to lurk around the corner to get you. His desire is that mercy and goodness will follow you all the days of your life. And he so wanted that in your life that he said, look, you can't come to me, so I'm going to come to you. And I'm going to give my own son in the flesh. And he who is wealthy is going to come poverty, so that in his poverty, those who are impoverished can become wealthy. And he said, I'm going to put my spirit in you, and I'm going to cause my goodness to dwell in you, and I so love you that you have no idea how aggressive I am for you. And we teach religion in the fact of he's a God out to get you, but he's actually a God out to save you and a God out to bless you, because that's his heartbeat over his people.
Isn't that what he said to Moses? I'm going to let my goodness pass by you, man. Yeah. So there's a whole lot packed up in his goodness. Man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I got my word now after all this.
You're going to send it to
his steadfast love. Endures. That is, it endures forever.
Yeah.
And that's what speaks to me through all of this is now I know what word I'm going to give to people when they say that he is just a punitive God. He's just a hateful God. How could a loving God send me to hell? He is not sending anyone. He has steadfast love, and that's why he's holding off wrath as long as he has. Yeah. That's why he's done everything that he's done for us. Mm. And man, that just everything you all are saying working together, that's the word, that's the scripture that just kept bubbling up inside of me, was steadfast love. And it even goes back to Brother Jacob was, you know, encouraging Miss Gretchen and reflecting on her and Brother Ron's marriage. And that's the word too. It reminds me of, you know, she has that attribute from her father, steadfastness, steadfast love. And I'm thankful for that, because he has been faithful when I haven't been faithful.
Yeah.
Amen.
You just think about how he looked upon creation and he said it was good. And I think sometimes we forget. Sometimes we see so much negative and we see so much bad in the world. And you look across and you're like, God, how can you see this is good? But I said, God doesn't look at the temporal. He looks at the eternal and what he's created. And I think that sometimes we forget that he's laid it out there for us. It says, you either choose this day who you will serve.
Right.
And he's given us mercy, and he's given us, he said, you either choose mercy or you choose judgment.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like, because mercy will triumph over judgment every time. And so I'm thinking, he's good to us even if we don't receive it. And he's saying that it's out there if we'll choose it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the problem with
a lot of people. He doesn't make mistakes. Mm-hmm. He doesn't do second rate.
No.
You know? Mm-hmm. What he does is good.
That's right.
Amen.
And I think, and realize, you know, you saying that scripture, choose you this day who you will serve. I think that that's daily.
Amen.
And that's moment by moment, sometimes situation by situation. We make a mistake in our lives when we think that there was a one-time event that carries us the rest of our life.
Yeah.
Because that's not a relationship.
No.
But today I choose him. And tomorrow I choose him. Amen. We got to continue on in this thing. It's not a once and done.
Mm-hmm. Amen, Brother Waleed. You got us all stirred up.
Yeah, we left you out.
I'm listening and blessed by the Word of God and the Scriptures that are flying back and forth. So, and I'm trusting it's blessing some of your audience, listening audience out there this morning as well, that their hearts would be encouraged and strengthened. You know, Hannah was speaking too about the goodness of God. And going through hardships, you know, my mind went to Romans 8:29, and that God will work all things together for good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so whatever someone's going through, a hard time, God knows what he's doing.
Yeah,
he's preparing us for his eternal glory. He's working it in through our lives for his goodness, and I think so we can understand and glimpse his goodness and for his glory. And then the next verse goes on to say that we're promised to be predestined. We're predestined. Mm-hmm. We're promised to be conformed into the likeness and the image of Jesus Christ. And sometimes we start praying for God to remove the very thing, the very tool in his hand that he's using to fulfill that promise of conforming us into the likeness of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Yes, it hurts, but these are temporary afflictions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Compared to the eternal weight of glory.
Mm.
And, and he said, we went through these things and almost died going through these trials. But he said, but it taught us how to depend on him.
Yes,
not on
that's
ourselves.
It right there.
Mm. You know, and I think that's God's goodness working in us. You know, his likeness and his character and teaching us how to depend on him and grow in our dependence on him, which is, again, another expression, I think, of his goodness. So, I'm grateful for that myself. Not always in the moment, but I'm grateful for it.
But when that fourth man, we see that fourth man in the fire.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And when all the ones around us see the fourth man. Mm-hmm. Amen.
You know, one thing.
Everyone wants to go through the fire.
We're talking a lot about the attributes of God, and we're talking a lot about his nature and what, you know, his goodness towards us. And I think one of the most overlooked attributes that we do not celebrate enough, we say it in passing, is the fact that he's good But he's also immutable. He's never going to change.
Man, I'm so glad.
He's unchangeable. He's unshakable. He's unmovable. He is never going to. He's good yesterday. He's good today. And he's going to be good tomorrow. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He is never changing. And sometimes we celebrate all the attributes, but to me, so many times, that's an anchor for it, that he's always going to be good.
It is.
And we can always trust his goodness and an all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere God's never going to wake up tomorrow and say, I'm going to be bad today. No, he's always going to be good.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you're touching that right there. I mean, I'm about ready to explode out of this chair. I am too. I mean, because, you know, the fact that he doesn't change, that keeps me here.
Yes.
I don't ever second guess whether what God said is going to happen or whether it's true. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, well, of course it's true. He said so.
Yeah.
Of course it's true. You know, so he does not change. He said it. It's there forever. We can put your hat on there. Just go ahead and hang that. Hey, I mean, what did it do to you? Same thing?
I was just thinking we might just go on to glory right now. I don't know.
Hannah's ready to get raptured.
No, we still got work to do.
We got to be contagious here. Yep. Freely we have received. Yeah. Freely we give. Yeah.
I think that, too, is something when we see what he's doing, we're supposed to be like him. And so we are the ones to change.
Yeah.
We're the changed into his image. And looking through, like we're talking about, looking through the glass where we see ourselves no more and we see him only in us. And I think that the world is waiting upon the sons and daughters of God to be more like him, to see the glory that he's put inside of all of us to shine throughout the world. And I said, that's the waiting, I believe, is when will the people of God begin to shift this way? And he showed us that, you know. Especially in Peter's day, Peter's like, I'm going to go back fishing. I ain't worthy to do anything. You know, I've done denied you. I've done disappointed you. I'm going back. I'm done. And Jesus comes back and says, come on. That one little mistake doesn't define who you are. That's the old man trying to identify. Come on, I've called you. He looks into the future. He looks into the places and he calls out the things that we didn't even know was in us. And he says, I see it in you, and I planted it in you. Now let's bring it out. And I think that one thing that Jesus did so awesome was pull it out of people. He could pull out what he had planted in them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. You know, it's a small thing. And hear my heart when I say this. It's a small thing that your mistakes could stop what God would do in your life.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's things. I understand that. But in God's ability, in his longing for you, in his desire that he displayed in Jesus, this is going to be what you think you're hung up on is not a thing. Mm-hmm. If you'll just give him your heart.
Yeah. I found he's not always looking for the perfect one. He's looking for the repentant one.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And he will use those with a pliable heart that's willing to say, mold me some more, shape me. I'm not there yet. Yeah. But as Paul said, I'm going to press on towards the mark. So, Brother Waleed, let me ask you this one. It's pertaining to evangelism because you're the evangelist here. I'm just a country boy who gets behind a microphone, don't know what I'm saying half the time. But I am thoroughly convinced that people's not looking for religion. What they're looking for is someone who is good. Mm. And I think sometimes we give them the message of Amino Zeus that's on the throne waiting to hit you with a lightning bolt instead of a loving father who said, I so love you, can't even imagine how much I love you, and I'm chasing after you and I'm pursuing you. And let me just think, I understand all of the severity, the goodness, I understand that, we talked about it a lot here, just me and you, but what's that look like when you're out on the street with that waitress that's broken for that day? What, how do we communicate this goodness to them?
Man, I just got back from South Africa. I was on a ministry campaign for about 3 weeks. And that's what I was really trying to drive home to the pastors, what you're saying right now. And I was speaking with one of the main pastors that invited me there. And we did a lot of workshops for him. We preached probably in 3 days, like 8 times. And he had me busy, but when he took us out to a restaurant when he first picked us up, and we were talking about this, theoretically, there's been we sat down and the waitress comes up and, you know, I said, is there anything? I said, what's your name? She told us her name. I said, how's your day? She said, it's good and all that. I said, what can we pray for you for? We're going to give thanks here for our food. How can we pray for you? And it clicked with the pastor when he saw the impact, how open she was, and it really set him and it set it, what I was trying to say to him, the example of what we just did. But it made the point, mm-hmm. you know, that. But I think we can't give people beyond what we have and our understanding of mm-hmm. Christ and what a relationship of Christ looked like. And I think that when I ask people, I ask in the leadership meeting, the pastors in these meetings, who's the most important person to preach the gospel to? And of course, the majority of people fall for the trap and they say the lost. But it's really not. It's to ourselves. We need to preach the gospel to ourselves every day. If we don't understand the justification, our righteousness that is in Christ ourselves, then we're really trying to relate to God more from a performance treadmill.
Yeah.
And that's the religion I think you're referring to. And that comes off. It comes off as then we start addressing people's sins and not the issue of sin, the condition of the human heart. That's desperately wicked. There's no way we can save ourselves but to fall on the goodness of God, to fall on the mercy of God. And if we don't understand our justification, then we're just going to be telling people, you know, hey, come to church and do this and do that. And, you know, God will love you when you're doing good. And you better hope for mercy when you're doing bad. And we start preaching another gospel and we don't even know it. And because we really don't understand the gospel to ourselves. And I think that's a simple point, but it's a very essential and overlooked point. You know, you're saved by grace, but you're kept by your personal work. And you're only holy with God when you're really doing well.
You know, I
know the passage says that he's become unto us holiness, wisdom, sanctification. See, God, what you all were saying earlier, God already sees us in the finished product. He already sees us as those sons and daughters that he's called us to be in Christ. And of course, we're catching up. We've got a lifelong process of catching up practically to what he sees in us, that likeness of Jesus. And that's why he promises us to conform us into his image.
I'm
trusting in his promise to work that in me,
and
not me work it in myself. You know? And I think when we understand that, it's going to be easier for us just to love the lost around us, wherever I am. If I'm in the marketplace, if I'm in a grocery store, I'm at a sporting event, everybody around me now, everyone everywhere every day is a candidate for me just to pour out the love of Christ on them.
Amen.
And prayerfully ask, how can I be Jesus to this person that's in front of me? What would Jesus say and do if he were here?
Mm-hmm.
And then that ministry of the Holy Spirit, he might get a word of knowledge. And that's where we see God move beyond the four walls. You know, we understand our own unconditional love that we've received in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a serious motivator. So a lot of times in these evangelism training, workshops, and stirring up the churches, a lot of I do start with our identity in Christ.
Amen.
Because there is a real need for us to understand that justification.
Yeah.
And that goodness you all have been talking about, you know.
And so often with the whole notion of preaching another gospel, I think a lot of people don't even do it as an evil intent. They're so scared people's going to continue in sin that we've got a safeguard against that. So we're going to tell you, you're saved by grace, but then you're kept by your own holiness, which is religiosity.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to birth this. It's going to birth that notion that I'm really, to me, it's taking you back to Hebrews, to those people who literally found no rest. And now you're going back to Exodus where this guy picks up sticks on the Sabbath. He's trying to add something to what God's already done. And God don't need your help. And And I feel like there's that notion sometimes that it's that religious spirit that wants to put you back under Hagar.
100%, and that's what Hebrews is all about, you know, a more and better excellence. And you want to go back to the bondage, you know, and that's very, very true.
Brother Willie, Aaron, do we have enough time that he could pray?
Absolutely. We got about 2 minutes left.
Yeah. Could you pray over?
You said 20 minutes?
I wish, Brother Waleed. I wish.
You know, the beautiful thing about prayer, you know, in the context of the goodness of what y'all are talking about, is prayer doesn't change God. Like Aaron was saying, God is immutable. He changes not. Our prayer is not going to change God. It's going to change you and me.
Amen.
And in His presence, we're going to come out full of joy. We're going to come out with a realignment, you know, and our goodness for our salvation. You know, that God first loved us, that we seek Him because He first sought us. You know, we were estranged from Him, but He made us a people and drew us to Himself. And Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank You for Your mercy.
Yes.
Father, that You did truly call us to Yourself, Lord. We were estranged from You. You were separated, dead in our trespasses. Uh-huh. And Father, You didn't come and die on the cross to make good people behave better. Father, You died on the cross and You suffered to make dead people alive, Father.
Yes, Lord.
And we are eternally grateful, Father God, for that same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead that now lives in us, Father God. That we can daily commune with You, Father. Yes. Truly, that relationship. One in You, Father, and one in You and us. Us in You and You and us, Father. We can abide
Thank
in You,
you
Father,
Jesus.
And dwell in You, Father, all the days of our lives, Father. Yes. Know that You're alive in us, Father. Your goodness, Father God, is working in us. Your image, Your likeness. You're teaching us how to love as You love. To think as You think, as our minds are being renewed and washed by the water of Your word. Father, I thank You for every person listening today, whatever they're going through, Father. Sometimes these holidays are depressing times for people, Father, but help them to lift up their head and just turn their hearts to You, knowing how much You love them, how much good You have in store for their life, Father.
Yeah.
That Father, if they're isolated, Father, even in their churches, they're not just feel isolated, that they would go and learn to open up to You first and open up to others, Father, and not be estranged from the people of God. And there's no perfect church, Father, but you love Your bride, and You're making her more like You, and that they're a part of that, Father. Mm-hmm. We thank You for this radio outreach, Father, that hearts are being encouraged and touched and reached with the glorious gospel, Father, a word in season. Thank You for each person here on the broadcast, that You bless them this holiday season, that they take this joy, the goodness of God, and the thankful hearts that they've been expressing, Lord, and go and share it with others.
Mm-hmm.
Share this good news, Father, and let it be good news to us, Lord, that we would go share it with others, Father, to be that light, to be that hill, city set on the hill, Father.
Yeah.
Father, if there's any, our pipes are clogged somehow, Father, that You would just empty ourselves. Mm-hmm. Help us to lay it down, Father, that we can be filled with You, Father God, that You can move in us and through us and touch others with Your glorious gospel. Father, we give it and commit it to You, Father. We love You. We thank You in the precious name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And all the listeners said,
Amen.
We love You, Brother Waleed. We love You, brother.
Love you guys.
We'll talk to you soon.
For having us.
I think the Lord may have stopped time there for a second, because that seemed like it was a lot longer than it really was.
It was 20 minutes, he said. 20.
He made the sun stand still, so he could do it.
I think he made it stand still.
Yeah.
Well, 30 seconds, final words from anybody. 30 seconds. We got about 30 seconds each. Everybody can do.
30 seconds each?
Yeah.
I can make that a half hour.
Okay, I'll go first.
Well, I mean, if we go long, it's just into your program, Mr.
All right.
All right, I'll go first and we'll tag team.
Okay.
The thing I wanted to say originally before the steadfast love is I'm thankful for the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. And I'm thankful for everybody that's here in Box 2 Radio, the community that's in the body of Christ, because I don't know where I would be without the body of Christ. So thank You, Lord, for that we can help each other grow and encourage each other, lift yes. each other up, bring in the lost ones, restore one another with gentleness. So, amen. Ms. Gretchen,
and as Ms. Cheney said, you know, our salvation is, you know, it's at the top, you know. But the kids had a board at school that they could write what they were thankful for, and I put, you know, my family, and then the next day I put my church family. So, and my church family doesn't just say just Bethel. It's
yep.
there's so many around, you know, that
absolutely
that they're our family. Yes. You know, it's just as close as my sons and daughters. Yep.
Yes, I'm gonna stay in that vein because so many times that you know we do have struggles, we do have things, and though to have those people in your life, I run into this man here in the Walmart aisle, you know, and what immediately there's a faith that begins to
stirs
charge
them.
Up. Why? Yes. Because we are like precious mm-hmm. faith. Mm-hmm. He's a brother in Christ that I know in this moment I will be encouraged, or I may encourage him. Mm-hmm. It's vital. It's necessary.
Amen. I love that. In the vein. We're all in the same vein. All right. There you go, Jack.
And I just want to be thankful just for the blood of Jesus and yes. how he chose me, you know, and a boy that didn't deserve anything and deserved hell, and that he chose me and took me out of some mess that so I haven't even shared half of it with people, but, you know, he looked down on me and seen somebody different, you know, and he pulled it out of me, and I'm thankful for that. Thankful for the men and women who's poured into me over the years and brought me to where I'm at today. I mean, it wasn't just Jesus changed me, but he used people to do it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I'm just thankful I got to be a part of this morning, and I'm thankful I get to eat a lot of turkey in the next 2 days.
Yeah.
But no, I am very thankful for the body of Christ, thankful for my family, and thankful for you guys, and thankful unto the Lord Jesus Christ for who blood has washed me and sanctified me and cleansed me. And I'm thankful for the Spirit that empowers us.
Yes.
And I'm thankful for the Word of God Amen. That is a lamp unto our feet. Amen. May the grace and peace of God be multiplied unto thee over the next 2 days, beloved. And we love you and we bless you in the mighty name of Jesus.
Yes.
Make sure in the mighty name of Jesus, if somebody does not know Jesus around you, they may put their fingers in their ear and sing la, 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 la. But never be a watchman on the wall that's silent, declaring the truth of our yes. Lord and Savior. Share the goodness and the love and the grace of God. Make sure you have the keys of the kingdom wide open this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah.
And share the gospel with those who need him. We love you. We bless you. We'll be back live Monday here on Mornings with Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network.